Welcome to the Byland Podcast. My name is Emery, and this is episode 26 with ultralight backpacking company, Z-Pax. Welcome back to the Byland Podcast. My name is Emery. This is episode 26, and my guest today is Z-Pax. And I have Matt and Will on from the company to talk about what Z-Pax is, how they got started, and all kinds of good stuff. We cover some really cool things, current products, future products, their experience with backpacking, how thru-hiking has helped their backpacking experiences, what ultralight backpacking was and is today. A number of things. Z-Pax, if you're not familiar with who they are, spend any amount of time on a long distance trail, you're going to see some sort of Z-Pax product, whether it's a bear bag or a food bag or a backpack or a tent or some sort of, you know, dry sack, something like that. They are out there. They've been around for a long time. They have a really unique story. And I have some guys that have been around the company for a long time on to talk about Z-Pax. You're really going to enjoy this chat because they have a really cool culture there at Z-Pax, and we talk about that on this episode. It's important to them what they're doing. They take their jobs very seriously because they want to be part of your backpacking experience. And they don't take it lightly. They love the idea of backpacking. They do it a lot themselves. They've put a lot of miles under their feet. So this is straight from one of those original ultralight backpacking companies. You're really going to enjoy it. Before we get into the episode, there are a couple things. If you want to help out the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. You can do it in a number of ways. You can leave me a review on iTunes. It helps me reach more people, and it helps me understand how I'm doing. If you have any suggestions, you can leave it on there. If you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at emery@byland.co or visit the website, byland.co. But if you want to help me out, you can do a really easy review on iTunes, or if you want to go the next step. I just opened a lifestyle shop on the website. I'll continue adding products to it, but right now it's just a couple of custom designed t-shirts that I think are pretty cool, super comfortable. I promise you, for the price, they are high quality, and I'll figure out a way to try and reduce those prices over time. But for now, I kind of do a drop shipper, so that's how it is right now. They're really, really comfortable. My wife even ordered a shirt because they're wicked comfortable. So the next thing is there's a Patreon account that's on the website. If you're not familiar with that, it's kind of a way to support the podcast. All those proceeds and all the funds that come in to the website go to support the website, pay for the bills, and purchase new gear and kind of do fun stuff like that. So that is it. If you feel like supporting the podcast, I'd greatly appreciate it. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you're an old listener, welcome back. We're just talking about backpacking and getting better at it. So without further ado, here are Will and Matt from Z-Pax. You're going to love it. Enjoy. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So today we are talking about Z-Pax. Z-Pax is a company I know when I started looking into, I guess a couple years ago when I looked into ultralight backpacking, Z-Pax always comes up in conversation. I'm not familiar with how long the company has been around for, but long enough to be a very popular name and a very big player in the industry in terms of ultralight stuff. And so that's kind of why I have you on. Do you guys want to do an introduction to yourselves and what you do at Z-Pax?
Sure. So my name's Matt Favreau. I was the first employee who started with Joe in the garage back in 2010. My current position is the brand manager, and I handle a multitude of different things, all the way from, handling any sort of types of sponsorship requests, handling when we're designing new gear, color schemes, and all kinds of things. Anything that's going to reach out and get into the customer's hands or into their heads, and you know, that's, I've got a part in that.
Yeah, and I'm Will Wood. My true name's Redbeard, and I've known Matt and Joe since 2013 when we just kind of got connected on randomly before I was going to be hiking the Appalachian Trail in 2014. So I've been hiking with them for a while, and then came on board with ZPAX in 2015 after the PCT. And I run our social media and also work on different media projects, film our hikes that we go on. We usually try to go on a few big hikes a year to test our gear and things like that.
Sweet. So we kind of have the spread, and it sounds like you guys have been around, clearly been around the company for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm curious, before we get into like kind of what ZPAX is about, I think it's always nice to know the origin story of ZPAX, how it got started, what got it started, and then how long it's been around for, and what, and kind of how it got to be what it is today. Because if you're on any long distance trail, there's always, someone's always carrying something of ZPAX.
So the story really starts, you know, probably sometime, you know, before 2004, our owner and founder and lead designer, Joe Valesco, he was planning, he had been dreaming about it for a while, of doing the Appalachian Trail. And he was doing what everybody else does before they do the trail. He was researching, trying to find the right gear, the best gear. And he just wasn't really happy with the options that he was finding. So he was like, you know what? I'm just going to make my own stuff. So he bought some material and he sat down at a sewing machine at his parents' house. And he made his own gear and he got on a bus and went and started the AT. Didn't take him long before he realized that that gear wasn't really that good. So he came home and he made some new gear and he went back out on the trail and then came home again. And then, that third time seemed to be the charm. So he, basically went through, you know, multiple iterations of all the gear he was doing his AT through hike. And people started to take notice and they were like, hey man, you should sell this stuff. People would buy it. There's nothing out there like this. And so basically he was really encouraged by his fellow hikers on the trail. So when he came home, he started making stuff and selling it on eBay. And then originally before ZPAX, he had a little website called Lightweight Joe, which was the trail name that he was given on the AT. And he was just selling some stuff on there and making it, you know, after work and on the weekends. And that slowly got bigger. He quit his job and he went and he did the PCT in 2007 was, he decided on pretty much on a whim. He only 2 weeks from the day he decided till the day he started. So he made himself some more gear and, kept going and testing it. And basically, when he would not be hiking, when he was working his normal job, he was just making gear at night. And so what he would do was he'd open up the website for a couple of weeks until he had about 2 months worth of orders. And then he would shut it down until he got caught up and he would open it back up and then shut it back down.
Wow.
And he was doing that all the way up until I met him in 2010, right after he finished the CDT. And since I started working here, we haven't shut down the site. But it's just slowly grown since then, yeah.
That goes back a long ways, man. He was, that's like over 10 years. I mean, it's 2018 and he was making gear in 2006 and 7.
No, before that.
Before that.
I mean, he made his initial gear for the AT hike in 2004.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, really, he got done with that hike and like, so you're looking late 2004, early 2005. He was making gear and selling it on eBay. Yeah. So I mean, it goes back. Yeah.
So I'm curious. I wasn't into backpacking. You know, I was fairly young at that point. You know, I was in the military, but. What was on the market for backpackers in that category? Because it sounds like he didn't have much to choose from, so he's like, screw it, I'm gonna make my own stuff. And
no. So a few of the companies who are popular now had their beginnings in the same time period. So I mean, Gossamer Gear didn't look anything like it does now, but they were making some things. I think even MLD was making a couple things. And, but basically around that time, a little bit after, basically GoLite was the company of choice. That was the big company for everybody back then. You know, the stuff wasn't, you know, up to the standards of today, but it was like a, at that time, it was pretty revolutionary. So, I mean, I think that the, yeah, there wasn't many options really at the time, though.
It'd be curious to go back in time and see what those thru-hikers looked like and what they were bringing with them and how that's changed. And because, yeah, I mean, everything's so much more different now. I mean, everything, the material's lighter and just more streamlined.
Yeah. I did. There's a website called the Wayback Machine, and you can type in just about any website's address, and you can go back and see what a site looked like. Even, you know, some of these sites, even like, you know, 15, you know, 16 years ago.
Whoa.
So I was doing some market research not too long ago, and I did basically that experiment, and you can, how far we have come, let's put it that way. But
yeah. And I mean, also when I did the AT in 2014, you know, it was pretty wild. Like I was on the trail for about 6 to 7 months, and I rarely saw much ultralight gear, even at that time. I mean, it was, no one knew, like my backpack, I was carrying pretty much all Z-Pack stuff. And this is before I worked for Z-Pack, but I was decked out, you know, with the tent and backpack and some other accessory items. And people just didn't really know what Z-Pack was, you know? So, I mean, the way I pretty much would share our products was just to give someone my backpack and let them hold it, because it really was that much lighter than what the majority of people were carrying. And that was in 2014. And just in the last few years, when we go back for trail events, just to see how well ultralight companies are represented now, it's pretty incredible. I think the explosion's happened in the last few years.
Yeah. What do you think that's due to? I mean, have you ever figured out like where that route is coming from?
First of all, I mean, the internet always helps. So you got a few things. Obviously, so there's more information on the gear because it's been around a little bit longer. So you can read more reviews and see videos on YouTube and stuff like that. So you've got more information. And I think people are also taking advantage of that information, obviously. But also on the flip side of that, a lot of these cottage companies like ourselves, they're only selling direct online.
Mm-hmm.
And like the general model for commerce in general is going to that. You know, you see these big box stores that have been around for years and all kinds of different markets going out of business or shrinking or selling themselves off. It's, you know, a lot of people are just moving towards e-commerce in general. So it's just like people are just doing more research. People are more comfortable buying things online without touching them in their hands. And I just think, you know, and there's a lot of people to talk about the movies, you know, whether, you know, Walk in the Wood or Woods or Wild. So it's starting to get even more play mainstream. And, you know, it's people are in general are going to more minimalist lifestyles, like whether it be living out of vans or things. There's so many different factors, I think, that go into it. And I just think it's kind of the perfect storm for ultralight backpacking right now.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where back in the day, kind of like how Matt said, I mean, people really are researching online. And back in the day, I really think people would go, and by back in the day, I mean the last 10, 15 years. I'm not talking like the 80s when people were through hiking. But, you know, they would go to their REI or their Eastern Mountaineering Sports, and they would talk to the people that were working there and ask them, you know, what gear should I take, or is anyone here through hike? And that's even how I found out about some of the stuff that I ended up taking. But now with YouTube and blog sites and great sites like the Trek, there's so many ways to find out what other hikers are taking. And it just makes the whole process. You don't have to rely on someone at REI. I mean, even when I went to REI, when I was gearing up for my thru hike, an employee there actually recommended to me ULA, for my backpack, you know. And it's funny, you go into these stores and it's all the big box stuff, but that person had through hiked the AT a year or two before me, and they had used the ULA pack. So you really had to be told about these companies back then, you know, besides now where you can just go and find stuff online.
That's interesting. I've always been curious, you know, you have like the REI big box, like backpack style, whatever, you know, and then that's like every time you walk into a store, it's like, oh, a store like REI, that's trustworthy. And here's this is how a pack should be. And then you look at like an ultralight company like yourself, and you're like, the material's different. It looks different. It smells different, but it does the job equally as well, if not way better. It's a lot more comfortable. more functional. But I've always been curious, like, how a company like Z-Packs was able to gain a foothold on, like, no, you don't need those massive packs. You just need this thing to get you up the trail. And it's a different material. It's like this trust fall when someone is like, when they buy your pack or your gear, they're like, well, you're not in a big box store. How do I trust you? So when have you, did you see like a spike in like a trust factor after a while?
I mean, yeah, it was one of the things that's always, I'll get a big kick out of it personally is when Cuban Fiber, which has now been rebranded as a DCF, when that first came out, one of the most popular backpacking forums was backpackinglight.com, which is, it's still a popular forum. And there was people on there who were just hating on it, like hating on it. It's not, it'll never last. It'll never work. This stuff is garbage. And like, and people were really skeptical at first. And then it's like, eventually, like, how many tents do we need to sell made out of this material that have completed not one through hike, but two through hikes, or, you know what I'm saying? Like eventually, like, so many hikers took that leap of faith and the gear proved itself. And now there's the reviews and the videos and like proof. There's proof that it's not garbage. And still some of those guys today, still on Backpacking Light, are still trying to like fight that fight that like, it's not a, a quality material for backpacking. Which is just, you know, I get a little rise out of it personally.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you have how many hundreds of thru hikers on each trail every year? Everyone's using some form. You see Cuban Fiber everywhere. It wouldn't be on those trails if hikers weren't trusting of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and that's the thing is like, the more people who go, and it just builds the trust for more people to take the leap. And it's not, at this point, it's not even a leap anymore. You know, it's recognized that like, if you want the, you know, comfort and the lightest of the light, and you want to, you know, travel light and fast, that, you know, you can go to a company like Z-Packs and rep our gear on the trail. And you're going to be, not only are you going to be fine, you're going to be comfortable and probably a lot happier, you know?
Yeah. And also just to, kind of throw on my perspective too. I mean, I think thru hikers, there's so many more thru hikers now than there were, you know, even 10 years ago. The numbers have increased substantially. And so I think it's a different mindset when you're setting out for a 6 month long hike and you're going to be living on the trail in your tent with your backpack for 6 months. So yes, some of our products are more expensive or, you know, Hyperlite or different companies out there, and the materials are significantly more expensive. But when you're leaving for a hike that's going to take that long, at least this is how I viewed it. I was like, yeah, I might not spend this normally on a backpack before, but now that I know that I'm going to be doing this for a long time, like living this life, I want to have the best gear out there. And I also want the lightest and also possibly the most weatherproof materials out there, which is another huge benefit of our gear, is most all of it is pretty waterproof, you know? So when you're heading out on a thru hike, I think it just, it gives you that incentive to really investigate. And because the numbers of thru hikers are just skyrocketed in the last 10 years, I really think that's why you're seeing the huge spread of the ultralight market right now, you know?
Dude, totally. And when I finished my hike, I came home and I looked at my backpacks that I'd used previous and I'm like, these things are tanks. I mean, and I used to think, I'm like, for some reason you're in this mindset. Now I also do some backcountry hunting and stuff. And so I was drinking the juice of like, for some reason, I think like there's these monsters in the woods that are going to rip open my pack and ruin them in the middle of the woods. And so I'm like, I have to have the most durable everything, you know, it's got to be bomb proof. And then I go on this hike and I'm like, you know, this stuff's still pretty durable. I haven't had any problems, no breaking. And I wasn't using Cuban Fiber, but I would imagine the same concept goes, like, what you think you need is not really what you need. It's, it doesn't need to be crazy, heavy and like a million stitches, you know, like it just needs to do its job.
Yeah.
Sometimes simplicity, simplicity is underrated sometimes. Like my favorite anecdote to add to what you just said is in 2014, Joe and I and another friend, we hiked this event called the TGO Challenge, and it goes coast to coast across Scotland, and you make your own route and whatever.
Oh, cool.
It's actually super adventurous. So we get over there, and Joe's known for hiking in his sandals. He's got his staff and his little samurai hat. And in the UK in general, and even particularly in Scotland, where the weather can get a little hairier, everyone's like, you mm-hmm. need these big boots, and you mm-hmm. need this crazy, you know, rain gear, and you need all this stuff. And so they're all weighed down with all this crazy stuff. And like Joe and I come just like, you know, trotting along in the mountains. And then people are like, you're hiking in sandals? Oh, like, oh my God. Like they were like losing their mind. And
people always go crazy with the sandal things wherever we are. That's
and
for
they,
sure.
they basically told us that we were never going to make it to the other side with the way that we were prepared. And it was just like, you know, they didn't know that at that point Joe was already a triple crowner.
Yeah.
You know, and I had like you know over 1,000 miles of hiking experience as well. So it was like, you know, just at that point we just got to laugh out of it. And of course we went across no problem. But it's just that's the thing is like people have been told for so long, like you said, drinking the juice, that that things have to be a certain way, and they don't think they can achieve the same level of safety, which is one of a big thing people are concerned with safety, but they don't think that they can achieve, you know, that same level of comfort and safety with ultralight gear, which is totally untrue. You don't have to carry a 5-pound backpack for your backpack to be effective, you know?
Yep. Well, so that actually brings up a really good question, a question I had. You guys have both done a lot of backpacking. I don't know what your experience was before long distance backpacking, but after you're done, how has that changed your mindset going into even just like a weekend trip? Like how is through hiking, long distance hiking affected what your outlook is on backpacking now? Cause you just talked about trekking across some pretty gnarly landscapes, and people are like, you guys are crazy. And it worked just fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'll let Will take the lead on this one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. I mean, now that I've done, you know, some long trails and almost every time I hit the trail now, it's for 70 or 100 miles or more, you know, even if it's not a, you know, a through hike of some kind, we're still doing big miles. I don't know, to be honest with you, it hasn't really changed besides just the amount of miles that I do per day. Back before I was a through hiker, when I, you know, I'm a fisherman as well. I've been hiking since I was a kid, but typically, you know, going 5 to 9 miles in a day was a pretty big deal. And so that's the thing that really changed the most for me with through hiking, was realizing that I could do 15 to 20 miles pretty easily. And I think that's one of the things that kind of sets through hikers apart from weekend warriors. Not so much, because even though a lot of people still do big miles, I don't want to, you know, say that people don't do big miles. But like, just for example, when we were in Tasmania a couple months back, everybody was going hut to hut, which is about 6 to 7 miles per day. And we were going hut to hut to hut. So we were doing, you know, bigger miles, and just being around all the other hikers, they were kind of, you know, blown away that we were doing all these miles. So I think that's really, you know, because of through hiking, that's kind of gotten us to be to the point where we realize we can do 15, 20 miles pretty easily. And again, it comes back to the gear too, because carrying, I think that our heaviest pack in our group was maybe 23, 24 pounds for that hike. So everyone is carrying lightweight. So it really helps you move faster and avoid injuries, you know, and all those things you just really don't want to have happen. But that's one of the great things about the lightweight gear too, you know?
Yeah.
For me, it's definitely enjoyment. The first real hike I ever did with my 5-pound backpack was from the approach trail at Springer to Neal's Gap at Wolosi. And like, you know, when I got done, I could barely walk, my knees were wrecked, and like, you know, my back was killing me. And now, you know, my pack weight is so, you know, if like I'll be hovering with 5 days of food at 20 pounds, you know?
Yep.
And so like now, like when I do 20 miles in a day, it's like, a lot of times I don't even feel like I did much, you know, it's just, it feels so like relaxed comparatively to the abuse my body is taking.
Yeah. Do you remember, what your mindset was and for backpacking before you did like long distance trails?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was get to camp and fish. You know what I mean? Like literally it was like, wait, I was like, how far am I going today? Okay. Right. 5 miles, we'll go 5 miles and then get this beautiful camp spot set up by, you know, near a stream where I can go fish. So it was, my priorities were different. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to hike 300 miles to this finish point or 2000 miles to this finish point. So, you know, from that perspective, it was definitely different, you know?
Yeah, I didn't even know. Like that was, I mean, I would say my hiking mindset was ignorance. I didn't know. I didn't really know what I wanted to do or how I wanted to get there. I just knew that I wanted to be out doing like the event. Mm-hmm. Like to me, like Will said, and having hiked with Will many times, I can confirm this. Like Will likes to hike to get to the camp, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like what really does it for me is the adventure part of like, I'm in a place I've never been. I'm going to turn this corner on this mountain and see a view that I've never seen before. And it's the adventure part of it. And so just being out in the wild to me was what I was looking for. And I've just learned over time to be smarter and more efficient with the way that I carry my gear and things like knowing when to stretch and so you don't hurt yourself, just being smarter about getting like completing my adventures. And so like the ultralight gear has really helped me physically stay in a good spot, which has helped me enjoy my adventure more, you know?
Yeah. Well, dude, maybe that's a good segue into talking about that topic. How gear can impact, specifically Z-Pak's gear, can impact someone's enjoyment on a trail. Do you want to take a minute to talk about what Z-Pak's offers and how they're kind of solving this problem? Because there's a lot of people that don't enjoy backpacking, and it drives me insane because I used to be in that position as well, and I didn't know what I was doing wrong. And then you get reps in on a trail over hundreds of miles, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. I was doing this all wrong, and I wasn't getting all these reps in on my weekend backpacking trips, which most people do. No one's really doing long, long trips, you know, the average backpacker. And so they're missing out on this. They're not seeing this. You know, you can struggle for 3 days, and you're like, oh, I just went backpacking. Oh, yeah, it's supposed to suck. And you're like, no, it's not. It's not supposed to suck. It's supposed to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's Z-Pak's doing in that space?
I mean, so basically what I feel from top to bottom as a company, what really differentiates us is that a lot of us here are hikers. We have that experience. So when we sit down to design a piece of gear, we're really, at the end of the day, like not designing it for the customer per se. We're designing it for us because we are hikers and we want to make sure that we have an item that obviously serves the function it's intended to serve, whether it be a shelter or a backpack, a sleeping bag, a rain jacket, any of those things. Obviously it has to perform the function it's designed to do, but just keeping things simple, not adding flair that most people don't need or don't use. Like we're not about adding stuff to look stylish. We just want to make sure that it functions, that the design is simple, easy to make, which in a lot of ways, when you make the patterns easier to make, they're easier to seal in terms of keeping them, you know, water resistant and things like that. And then obviously we're known for having like basically the lowest or very near the lowest weight of any item that you can find in the ultralight backpacking world. And the reason why we do that is because we want to enjoy our time out there more. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I put a pack on that has 5 pounds in it and I climb 2000 foot peak, it's going to be a lot more enjoyable than if I put a backpack on that weighs 50 pounds and I climb a 2000 foot peak. So we're trying to get the gear to where it's functioning. It's functional, it's simple, and you're not thinking about it. Like you're enjoying you're enjoying your trip. You're enjoying your adventure. You're enjoying the time with your family. You're enjoying the time fishing or whatever it is. It's the gear shouldn't be weighing you down mentally, as well as like actually being, you know, weight that you're carrying. And so, and that's really what we're trying to do here is make the lightest, most functional gear out there where you can put it in your gear, know that you're going to be safe, know that it's going to function when you need it, but you're not thinking about it because it's not weighing you down when you're hiking, you know? That's really what we're after.
Yeah, and that's why you see as well, like, the huge crossover that's starting to happen where people are taking our gear on long-distance cycling trips. They're using our backpacks on ski slopes. They're using our tents doing long-distance horseback riding. I mean, these are some of our customers, you know? And so it's cool to see how people – we design these with a trail function, but you just never know where people are going to be using that backpack or where they're going to be pitching that tent or what adventure they're going to be on. But when they don't have to worry about the gear, like Matt says, it makes it all about that adventure that you're doing. And that's why it's so exciting for me personally to be able to operate our social media and to see mm-hmm. what all our customers are doing. And that's what our social media really is about. It's about showing our customers' adventures and the things that they're doing. It's not as much about what we're doing. We get to do cool things too, but it's about what our customers are doing and where they're going. And it's been a pretty cool thing to see.
Yeah, dude, I can't imagine. What's that? Yeah, what's that like as a I can't even fathom how amazing it would be to design a product, mull it over, get it right, put it in the hands of someone, have someone buy it, and that's awesome, that's great, you're helping the company. But then you see these images of people on long distance trails, and you know those trails or those adventures, and I'll just use trails as an example, those are life-changing trails. Like, those are highly impactful. Yeah. And your pack or your tent or even like a bag, you know, like some sort of ditty bag is helping that adventure. That has got to be one of the most unique, rewarding, like, moments. Like, that's freaking cool.
That's definitely something that to our sewing machine operators who are on the, on the production floor, that's something that for years I've really made a big deal out of, is actually exactly what you're just saying, is like, it's like, you may not realize it. And it goes all the way from the cutting machine to the shipping department mm-hmm. and everybody who touches an item in the middle. It's like, you may think that, like, you're just doing this thing and this is your job. But, like, at the end of the day, the thing that your hands are touching mm-hmm. is going to people who are living out, like, adventures of a lifetime. They're going to Nepal and going to, like, Everest Base Camp. Mm. We've got, you know, people sending us pictures from Antarctica. It's like, if you name it, anything crazy, any hike or mountains or anything crazy in the whole world, like, our gear has been there and people have sent us pictures doing things with it. And it's like you said, even a dry bag, mm-hmm. just like something as simple as a dry bag. Like, if a dry bag is keeping your clothes dry and you're in, like, Scotland or Patagonia and it's like the rain is intense and it's crazy and, like, somebody's on this crazy adventure and the weather is insane and they're going to be telling people for the rest of their life about this adventure. And, like, you kept their clothes dry that saved their life. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like connecting the threads on the sewing machine to the adventures. It's such an important thing for me personally to do in the shop and to see it with on our social media. Like Will said, people give us pictures all the time. To see how excited they are and how amazing their adventures are, and to know that all of those pictures, people are using or holding gear that came out of this little shop here in West Melbourne, Florida, is just amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, me and Matt talk about it all the time. I was in the office for the first few years that I worked with Z-Packs, and I sat right next to Matt. And I mean, there's hardly a country that Z-Packs has not shipped a product to.
Wow.
And I think that's really cool. I mean, when we were in Australia, we had just landed in Melbourne and people came up to us right away, like in the airport, and recognized our products. And any trail we go on, it's a really cool thing. And to be able to hike with Joe too, and to experience it through kind of his eyes or Matt's eyes as well, because he's been there from almost the beginning. It's a really, really cool thing just to see that. You know, I mean, I love having conversations with people out around a campfire in another country that are interested in our gear, and they already know everything about us. It's a really cool thing. It's a really cool thing to experience.
Yeah, that reach is amazing. I mean, that's something to be massively proud of. And dude, honestly, I appreciate the fact that there's a company out there that is so sincere about the big idea. Like, yeah, you might just be sewing this little thing right here, but it's part of someone's, it could be part of someone's lifelong dream, and they're choosing you to go there, to join them on that journey. And like, that can be super intense, man.
Yeah. I mean, and you think like, you know, in the U.S. we're all, you know, we're like, oh, a lot of people dream about doing the Appalachian Trail. You know, that's like, even people who don't know about the other major hiking trails, but it's like people have these big dreams. And usually it's younger people or, you know, or people who are retired or doing the AT. But at the same time, there's trails like the Camino de Santiago in Spain where it's mainly older people who are doing it. And so you've got a whole different demographic of people with a similar dream, but not exactly the same dream, you know, from all over the world. And there's a hike that's similar to the Camino in Japan called, the Shikoku Henru, which is basically like a pilgrimage to Buddhist temples. Whoa. And people are using our gear, doing these things. And people, like you said, people are living out these amazing dreams. Some of them are spiritual. Some of them are just, you know, endurance challenges, whatever it is, but like all over the world in different age demographics, you know, we are helping these people live their dreams. And it's just amazing to like be a part of that.
Oh, yeah. Man. And it's one of the cool things too, is sometimes, you know, at DPAX, we kind of have a warranty program where we'll do like, you know, repairs on your gear for the lifetime of the gear, as long as it's like reasonable stuff, you know. Right. And we'll get people sending us their backpacks back. And these people have done, you know, 2, 3, 4 through hikes with this pack. And they've got patches all over it from all over the country, all over the world. And when we go back and see those customers' products, and we're kind of, you know, just making them a little bit better if we can, or, you know, fixing something, it's really cool just to see that and to think about that. And you know, when we go back to the shipping department and see all those boxes lined up about to go out, it's just really fun to think about, you know, where those things are going to be going and what adventures they're about to go on.
Dude, that is super cool. I love the idea of like patches getting just like sewn on packs and being like, dude, that's part of a story. And you guys get to see it. And I would imagine there's a party that like, can I have this pack so we can put it on the wall? And then they're probably like, no, it's going to be on my wall. This is, I earned those rips and tears and stuff, and they want to keep it forever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, so, we just got an email like 20 minutes before your call of somebody who has a really old pack that we don't make anymore. And they're like, I love it. I just want to repair it so I can keep it going, 'cause it's so dear to me. Like, you know, it's like, these items become more than just gear items. They're like, they're like a living memento of their adventures, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, so, you guys touched on, one of the things I enjoyed, you touching on was the fact that like, yeah, you're making gear for other people, but really you're making gear for yourselves that's going to benefit other people. You're designing gear that like works for you. Therefore you believe that it's going to benefit other people as well. Maybe we can take a few minutes to talk about like the popular stuff inside Z-Packs. I know you guys have a number of things, but I would imagine you have some really good, like core elements or core products that you see people choosing time and time again. It's like the like, that's what people love. And then maybe some stuff that people don't know about. Do you want to take a second to talk about that stuff?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go for it, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, basically for the last few years, our duplex tent has absolutely been killing it. Its representation on all the major trails across the world at this point, not even just the U.S. trails, is it really has a large representation out there on the trails. It's a great, you know, two-person tent for, you know, average-sized people. But what we find is a lot of, you know, average to taller-sized hikers are using the duplex as a one-person tent because they can bring all their gear in and do the proverbial gear explosion next to them. so they got plenty of room for themselves and their gear, and it, you know, and it's nice for a through hike to have that extra space. Mm-hmm. Two people can use it too. And the last couple of years though, our Arc Frame series backpacks have really stepped it up too. So now they're neck and neck with our duplex. So really our tents and our backpacks are just really killing it at the moment. Just a ton of them going out every single day. A lot of people on the trails with them. But one of the things I'm real excited about is our Virtus rain gear line. So we're having this material specially made for us. We called out the specs. We had the factory make it. This point, we're the only people in the entire world who are using this material. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally, it's not necessarily proprietary, but it's ours right now. No one has it. And the breathability is off the charts. The weight is off the charts. It looks absolutely beautiful. Will actually just posted a picture of me wearing it the other day. I just got back from Montenegro, and I did some testing of the first time I got to test the jacket. Did some testing in the mountains of Montenegro in the rain. It was just, it's beautiful. It's ridiculously light, packs up small, and it's, you know, it does the trick. And like, to me, I foresee the Virtus rain jacket becoming our flagship clothing item. Cool. And that, to me, I feel like that's going to take on a life of its own, much in the same way the duplex tent did. I'm really, really excited about it.
Also, let me chime in on this too, because I mean, the duplex tent, the solplex tent, the triplex tent, all of our tents that we sell, just obviously we sell a ton of them. We sell a ton of backpacks and our rain gear and stuff, obviously our accessory items. But for me, I think on my second long hike, I jumped into our sleeping bags. And before, I had used a Marmot bag. We do sleeping bags too, and they're pretty much the lightest out there. They're, you know, just super, super warm. DWR coating, 900 filled down. That's something that for me really kind of changed. I had never changed my hike because I had never used a quilt style sleeping bag before. I had always used like a hood, you know, more traditional sleeping bag. So jumping into our sleeping bags, I was able to save close to a pound, and I already had a really light sleeping bag. So the weight, and we always talk about it. We never even zip our sleeping bags up because honestly, I stay warm in it and I just sleep with it like a throw blanket. And that is something, our sleeping bag line is tearing it up as well. And
that's cool.
I highly recommend checking them out too. So,
well, dude, that's like the big three, right? And you have a company that you can go to that, like, I mean, those are big three items that normally weigh quite a bit for the most part. That you've found a way to reduce that weight and have it all function together. I mean, if you start with a nice base of those three items, it's only up from there. You know, you can really reduce the amount of impact on your body.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I tell people. Whenever I run into people that are, you know, telling me, I want to get your backpack, but I just don't know if my weight is quite right for it yet. Or, you know, if I'm going to be light enough for the pack. Well, I always tell people, it's like, if you can get those big three items light, it is super easy. You know, like you said, that's kind of the start. Concentrate on those things and concentrate on the item that can save you the most weight first. So typically that's the backpack, you know. I mean, I had an Osprey pack before I moved into the lightweight world. Mm-hmm. And I was able to save, you know, 4 pounds almost just from making that one switch. So that's how I did it, is I started with the one that would get me that biggest weight savings. But and then went from there, you know. But like you said, it's really easy. Once you start getting those big items and saving the weight, then it's just a matter of, you know, leaving stuff at home that you really don't need.
Yeah, dude, I see these pictures I just saw some pictures on Instagram today. I was floating through different feeds, and there's like these packs these people are carrying. They have like these like massive tents just draping off the outside and these massive sleeping bags. And I'm like, you poor thing. Like, are you having fun? Like, that does not look like fun to me. Like, that looks like
it's hard. Terrible. Man, I can't even imagine. But the thing is too, that I love is I love seeing people out in the woods, and I know I used to be that person that, yep. that carried me and my friends. We used to brag about who had the heaviest pack. So that used to be what it was like. And I loved every minute when I was out there. Yeah. So I still love it. It doesn't matter how much you're carrying. You can carry 50 pounds. But I will tell you this, that when you make that switch to ultralight mm-hmm. with whatever company it is, we hope it's Z-Packs. But whenever you make that change, it's going to change your experience for sure.
Totally.
And it's only going to make it better. It's only going to make it better.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you see these people with these, I've seen them too, you know, they're smiling down the trail and their pack and their whole setup just looks like hell on earth. And you're like, you're yeah. still smiling. And I'm like, dude, you get it. Like your heart's in it. Like you understand it. And like, you just want to take them aside and be like, it can get better. It can get even better.
Yeah. I mean, I saw on the PCT, I remember I was, near Los Angeles, and there were some Cub Scout groups that were going up the mountains, and they had a gallon water jug.
Oh,
they had them tied to their big old external frame backpack, and they were dangling. So they were just with every step, they were hitting them in the calf, you know, in the calf muscle. And I was like, man, that is rough. But then I looked at their scout leader, and he was carrying a chair on his back. So I figured, you know, like it was. I was so happy at that point to have, you know, my gear set up that I had. So
yeah,
that's
dude.
For sure.
You know, speaking of Boy Scouts, when I was going through Indian Heaven, up here in Washington, I see this kid come down the trail, and this kid's like, you know, 11, and I'm like, where the heck is your parent? Right. And then next thing I know, like multiples are just coming down the trail. I'm like, finally, I was like, who are you guys? And these kids are like, you know, range from 10 to like 13 or something like that. And they're doing 50 miles from the north side of Adams to the end of Indian Heaven. And they're doing 50 miles. And I was like, holy cow. Like, and these kids are just so young and they're like getting it, you know, they're just tearing, yeah. you know, they look like hell. Like they're really earning it, but they have these huge packs. And all I wanted to do was be like, I got to find your troop when I get done with this thing. Cause we can help you. Like cause these kids are smiling ear to ear. Earning every step that they take, and you know they're in pain, but you're like, you're getting it. And they're like, they were so proud. They had these like 50 mile t-shirts on and like super stoked about it. And I was like, good for you guys. Like there's not a lot of adults out there that can say they've hiked 50 miles in a single go.
Yeah,
I just took my family this past July to the Alps, and we did the Tour du Mont Blanc, which is a like a 110-mile circuit around Mount Blanc, and it goes through France, Italy, and Switzerland in like a circle. And I took my 7-year-old daughter. She actually turned 7 the day we went to Europe, and like she killed it, dude. Did 110 miles, and she had that look on her face, man. Like she was loving it, climbing the mountains, just being there, the air, the views.
That's
you know,
cool.
it's like when you get out there, man. It's like. It can change you, so it's awesome to hear a story about any kids out there doing like the, you know, real big miles and mm-hmm. getting an experience like that.
Totally.
Of course, Matt's daughter was very lucky because she had herself a custom made Z-Pack pack that she was sporting, man. And I'll tell you what, that thing was cool. If I was her age, I would have loved to have had a pack like that.
That's awesome.
It helps when your dad can sew your own pack.
That's cool. I have one question about that rain gear, if we could go back to that real quick.
Yeah, sure.
I live in the Pacific Northwest. I have my own feelings about rain gear. I spent a lot of years mm-hmm. being really, really miserable in the Northwest with rain gear, just because I did a lot of hunting in the fall, and basically anytime October rolls around, you're in rain. So mm-hmm. I've played around with different stuff. I'm curious. Everyone has their own way of dealing with rain. What is, mm-hmm. You said that you guys, Z-Packs kind of dictated what they're looking for in the material. We don't have to go into that, but I'm curious what your thoughts are on rain gear and how to address rain, because it's a finicky thing and it's something that does exist. And if you're not prepared for it, it can ruin your day, but it doesn't have to ruin your day.
Yeah, I mean, for me, especially working at Z-Packs and having answered so many customer emails, I mean, I don't know how many times I've had an email that said, there's no such thing as breathable rain gear. Like, you know how many times I've seen that email. And to me, from my personal experience with rain gear is, if you're huffing and puffing going up and down a mountain, like, and it's 60 degrees or something, or mm-hmm. warmer, like you're gonna sweat from the inside out. And so it's like a lot of times rain gear doesn't, for me personally, become all that effective when you're moving, unless like it's like 55 or below. Mm-hmm. But if you're stationary, you have a really good breathable rain jacket, like you said, you're hunting, like say, you know, if you're in a deer stand or something like that, and you're just getting rained on, like you're sitting still, then like the breathable rain gear can do the trick for you. And mm-hmm. that's really what we were shooting for with ours, is the breathability numbers. Because like in terms of keeping water out from coming in, there's plenty of companies out there that have comparable numbers, you know, when you do the scientific tests and all mm-hmm. that, you know, the numbers of keeping the water out are similar, but the ability to let vapor escape from the inside out is where we really, really excel. Like, yeah. We are like exponentially higher than anyone right now. And it was just a matter of getting the right mix together with the fabric supplier and working with them. And so, but you know, like if you put our jacket on in 60 degrees out and you're like running up a mountain as hard as you can, and it's like super steep, guess what? You're going to get wet and sweat. Cause yeah. I mean, like no material will breathe and let that much vapor out that mm-hmm. fast. So it's just a matter of finding the right mix for you. A lot of, personally, and Will can attest to this from when we hiked on the Superior hiking trail, when we threw hike that, it was like 55 degrees and it started raining, and I was like, okay, I just kept hiking in my normal hiking shirt, because you know that I was moving fast enough to not get cold, so what was the big deal, you know?
Dude, that's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, personally for myself, I mean, I rarely put on my rain gear. If it's the middle of the summer and it starts raining, you know, I don't know about you guys, but well, I know about Matt. We leave our gear. We don't even put it on, honestly. Mm-hmm. Where I really find rain gear to be extremely important is just in those days where, you know, something dangerous could happen, you know, 40 degrees and, you know, and it's raining. That's mm-hmm. when the rain gear is extremely important and helpful. And I mean, the new line of rain gear that we have is awesome, and it's done the job when it comes to keeping me dry in those kinds of situations. You know, and even if you are sweating, you can tell the difference between a jacket wetting out or a jacket getting wet from sweat, because you'll mm-hmm. still have dry spots all over your clothing. But when it's actually wetting out, you'll notice your whole shirt is just completely soaked, unless if you're mm-hmm. just a big time sweater. And I'm not a big sweater. So, you know, you can see the difference. And, you know, even when I've been hiking in our gear for a good amount of time in the rain, I'm talking like all day or close to it, it does a great job of keeping me dry, you know, in those days, which is extremely important.
Hmm. One of these days I want to do an episode on like dealing with the rain. I don't know. I don't even know where to begin, because everyone has their own way. There's like poncho people, there's like top and bottom people, and then there's people, you know, like you just mentioned, I won't put it on unless it's in this type of situation because I'm moving.
Yeah,
but it's rain is not equal in all parts of the world. You know, like there's dangerous rain, there's non-dangerous rain. And then there's, you know,
everybody thinks that wherever they live, they have the worst rain in the world.
Totally.
I can tell you that. I answer so many emails like, we have the worst rain. And it's like,
yeah. And I mean, it's funny too. Like the poncho, we have a poncho as well, you know, that doubles as a ground sheet. And we sell a ton of those things, and we sell a ton of rain kilts. And mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the first time I saw someone hiking in a rain kilt, a Z-Pax rain kilt on the trail. I honestly didn't even know what it was, and I thought the person looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then they just started to sell me on why it was so good and the airflow and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so we have other, just besides our Vertisline, we have other stuff too that we sell a ton of, and people that hike with our poncho and our kilts, you know, they don't hike without them. They wouldn't make the switch. So and personally, I've never tried it. I've never hiked with the rain kilt. Mm-hmm. Have you hiked with the rain kilt, Matt?
No, I basically, unless it's like really windy, I don't even put rain pants on.
Yeah. There you go. There's some people that don't even do rain pants, and other people swear by rain pants. And
yeah. When you hike in shorts, man, especially like super synthetic ones, they take like 10 seconds to dry out. So
yeah,
it's not that big of it. So unless it's to the point where like I'm going to start getting hypothermia from a cold, wet, windy day, then I'm just not going to worry about it.
For me, there was only one day on the PCT. It was in Adams. It had been raining all day, and I just had a rain jacket, and I was running. I was hiking in trail, you know, just running shorts. My legs were exposed to the air, the bushes, the water on the bushes, and that night was my coldest night on the trail by far because my body temperature just was stuck. I wasn't generating as much heat because throughout the day. And so I was like, that was the only time that I saw, I was like, ooh, yeah, this could have been kind of bad. Like, I was fine, you know, I wasn't shivering or anything, but I was like, oh, interesting. Maybe today would have been a good day to do something different. But that was like one day out of 5 months, you know?
Yeah.
Man, fun stuff. Okay, so last question. I'll let you guys get back to your day. We kind of beat around the bush on this, but what do you guys have advice to? What's your individual advice to people getting into backpacking? That there's always seems to be some sort of a barrier that people have, whether it's mental or physical. And I kind of like to ask guests, like, what's your piece of advice? Like, what's important to you that you would want a new backpacker to know and take with them on their next trip, whether it's gear or mindset?
I'll let you go first, Will.
Man, you know, honestly, a couple different things, but it's funny whenever I run into people that talk to me and they're like, man, I always wanted to get into backpacking, mm-hmm. but they always say, but the funniest thing, like I hear this more than anything else. People say, I'm scared of bears. It's so weird, right?
But there's a bear around every
all
corner
all day long. I, you know, working in the backpacking world, every day, you know, that's one of the things that pops up surprisingly enough. It's like bears. And so I end up talking about that a lot. And, you know, I saw close to 40 bears on the AT when I did that through hike. And
oh, wow.
I never had any, you know, I had some close encounters, but, you know, black bears, obviously, they don't really want anything to do with you. So from that perspective, I get that a lot. And I talk to people about that. Don't worry about the wildlife, you know, they're not interested in you, you know.
Bears. That's a good one.
That's just you know, it's kind of funny, but that comes up all the time.
Totally true. I've hiked with people that they think that a cougar's going to drag them out of the trees and bear's going to rip their face off around every corner, especially at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's night. And, you know, when it's dark and you're in your tent, a squirrel could come right by your tent, and I swear it can sound like a bear. And but as soon as you've fallen asleep with bears outside your tent, you kind of get used to that. And as long as you're doing your proper things and having your food, you know, stored properly, and obviously we sell a food bag. It's one of those things that we sell a ton of often on the trail. Someone might not have any of our gear, but they'll have our food bag. You'll see that with most thru hikers out there. Yep. So as long as you're storing your stuff, you don't have that much to worry about. But again, to just get out there and enjoy the outdoors. I mean, so many of us live in cities, and I know for me, it's so great when I can get away and just get in the woods. So it really, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what kind of gear you have, just get out there. And if you fall in love with the mountains and being outside or the, you know, hiking, eventually you're going to find us.
Sweet.
Yeah. I think for me, like if I'm trying to get somebody who may have some interest in into backpacking, and I'm trying to, I wouldn't necessarily be advice necessarily. Like I'm the kind of guy who I understand I can show you how enthusiastic I am about whatever it is, whether it be hiking or like soccer, which is a huge part of my life as well. But it's like, I want to take you there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to take somebody and I want to maybe, you know, nothing crazy, but I want to take you and I want to like get you to climb to the top of this ridge or the top of this mountain or this viewpoint or whatever it is. And I want it to be a little hard, but not overwhelming. And I want you to get there and I want you to feel that satisfaction of achieving that and that accomplishment of it and the reward of the view, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. like the pain on the way up or the pain on the way down, like all that stuff disappears in your memory. Mm-hmm. Like once you get an hour drive away from the point on your way away, you know, and mm-hmm. it's just like the, for me, once I can get somebody that sense of accomplishment, they want it again. They, you know, it's like, you know, I don't want to say it's like a drug, but it can be like a drug for mm-hmm. some people. But it's like you give somebody that feeling and they want to feel that feeling again. And the more they do it, the more they realize out there that there's basically endless feelings. I was talking about that with a new guy we have answering emails, that I was like, if I had all the money in the world and all the free time in the world, I couldn't hike every trail that's out there. There's not enough days. Yep. Like, you just can't do it. So this is a passion and a hobby that can never be fully satisfied. You can never get to the point where you have achieved ultimate, like, completion. Mm-hmm. So there's always an accomplishment to achieve. And that drives me and my pursuits for my personal hikes. And I think that goes a long way. Giving somebody that first sense of accomplishment can go a long way in pushing them towards this sort of hobby.
That's awesome, man. That is cool, man. I love hearing people's different answers to that. It's all over the map and it's super personal too. A lot of times I appreciate that.
Yeah, no sweet. Problem.
Well, dude, guys, thank you so much. What is the best way for someone who is interested in Z-Packs to find them? The website, social media, or what do you think?
Yeah, just zpacks.com. Cool. I mean, everything you need to know is there. And if you don't see the answer, shoot us an email and we'll give it to you.
Sweet. Any last things that we haven't covered that we should mention? Or is that pretty much?
Man, I say one cool thing is, you know, what are we doing and where are we going next?
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Matt might be able to speak on this even more than I can. But I know personally, I've been testing on my last two hikes on the Benton McKay Trail here on the East Coast and then also in Tasmania. I've been testing a new tent, a new one-person tent, and it's my personal favorite of our one person tents, and that's going to be available here shortly. Matt, are there any other things that you know that might be coming?
Well, I mean, I think it's a pretty exciting time at Z-Packs in general for a lot of reasons. The products that are going to be coming out soon is definitely one of those things. That tent that Will was prototyping, we've actually made some changes to it since the version he has. And it's current. The prototypes right now are weighing in at sub 15 ounces.
Whoa.
So I mean, I am fully expecting the version that we bring to market to weigh less than 15 ounces. It is ridiculous right now.
Yeah, and the space in it is really good. I mean, I'm a person that usually sleeps in the duplex tent. I know Matt does as well, and this tent has incredible amount of space for one person tent. Definitely enough room for your gear to come in there with you or even another small person or something like that if you are in an emergency situation. But it really is pretty impressive, especially when you consider the weight.
Yeah.
Unreal. Honestly, it's unreal. I mean,
yeah. So between that, we have we're introducing women's sizing top to bottom in our clothing line. We've got a synthetic jacket that's been in the works for a while, but it's actually like it's almost there right now. I mean, I would expect to see that definitely by the fall, you know, followed up by a down jacket as well. So we're definitely doing a lot of focus right now on making sure we have the full complement of clothing items.
Cool.
This new tent, I can't believe that it's sub 15 ounces personally. It's like absolutely, when we put it on the scale and looked at it, my eyes got so big. I was like so excited. It was like insane. But yeah, man, it's just exciting. We've getting our shop in order. We've got we just brought in a plant manager who's got experience from like the Toyota family of companies. Like he actually has some experience in like Japan, and he's really helping us philosophically look at the way we do things. And like so, like the production floor has this excitement where like we're working together and like being more efficient and like just making things better. You know, just top to bottom, like. inside and outside of the company, everything, you know, from the products to the production. It's just a very exciting time to be at ZPAX right now. And we're really setting ourselves up for long-term success, and I just can't wait. I mean, this August will be 8 years for me, and I just can't wait to see what the next 8 years is going to bring. I'm stoked on it.
Dude, that's really great to hear. And I mean, clearly you guys are meeting a need for a lot of people because your gear's all over these trails and seeping their way into the world. So that's good to hear that. I mean, all those little changes are going to help meet the customer need even better. So that's congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, man. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
Well, dude, thanks so much, guys, for coming on. I appreciate it, and I know that for sure I took some nuggets out of this, and I know that if I did, then a lot of people did too. So, thank you so much for coming on. I will make sure the links to your website and social media are in the show notes so people can find it easily.
Awesome, yeah. Shoot us an email when it's up and it's live and it's ready to go, and you know, we can share that as well.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Thanks again for reaching out to us. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And and we'll have to check out your podcast as well. I know I've listened to a few of them before we talked here. So
cool. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Yeah. Thank you.
That is it for episode 26. Thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate your time with me, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode and got something out of it. Be sure you check out ZPAX. If you have any questions for them, you can reach them at their website. If you have any questions for me, you can reach me at byland.co. Check out the other podcasts, subscribe to the email list, and I will let you know when new content is posted. Until next time, be safe and enjoy the outdoors. We will see you out there.